This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 to 31. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Will you pray with me? In the holy mountain of the Lord, O God, all war and strife will cease. And so today we pray for your peace. In Christ's name, amen. Good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. Yeah, I thought so. I've seen a lot of your Facebook posts that you are Chicago Cub fans, but my husband called to my attention in the news a serious Cub fan. It was a man who said, "There I was at the game. I went to the bathroom and I saw a man pull out his rosary, and he was actually praying. If that doesn't tell you what this means to us, nothing will." Today is All Saints' Day, and this passage from Luke, as you've heard both from Christina's reading and from Cassie's message to the children, tells you that it's not exactly what you'd think of the Beatitudes, but it is the end of the Beatitudes. Now, you heard from Dale last week, the Beatitudes, but those were from Matthew, and those are all blessings. And this one, if Christina had read the whole thing, it would have said, you know, blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you. And it would have said, and woe to those who are rich, and it would have gone on and on. And then it ends up with this really, really tall order of what we're to do, like loving our enemies and turning the other cheek. And according to this definition, most of us would not have a prayer at being a saint. So this is the fourth Sunday of our stewardship season. And this stewardship season, we have focused on our baptismal vows to honor Christ through Grace Church by serving with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And you've got a card inside your bulletin this week, and there is a place for your gifts, and there's a place for your prayers, pledging to pray for Grace Church, and there is a place for service. And your presence is here, but there is not a place here for witness. And so I ask you today, will you be a witness? And that may be some difficult thinking through that, committing to being a witness, because when we think of witness, we think of saints, usually, those saints that have run through our minds as we stood up today or as we heard their names called. And according to Scripture, The one that we heard today, being a saint is just next to impossible. My worship professor at Perkins School of Theology was Marjorie Proctor Smith, and we worked on liturgy in her class. And she used this very passage, and she used All Saints' Day, and she admonished us, do not make this day completely about celebrating your church, but make it about the struggle and the service that so many people have done, the suffering to get to a place that is better for all of humanity, to do away with the kind of society or relationship that makes it good for some at the expense of others. She said that's a true celebration of All Saints Day. So when we think of saints in that way, holy living, which is grounded in suffering and struggle of real people, we begin to see that being blessed has more to do than being happy. It means having this special place in God's heart, no matter what our suffering, no matter what our struggling. Saints do make good witnesses, but you might not think of someone as a saint who is really mischievous or who believes in all sorts of nonsense, or who becomes very sick and seems unable to be a witness. Renee Maines was, however, this kind of saint. Yes, she was mischievous. Yes, she liked to do all kinds of nonsense. But she also loved teaching master gardening to her students, many of whom were special needs, and she loved hosting large gatherings, and her favorite holiday that many of you know was Halloween. And last Halloween, as sick as she was, she dressed up, and she smiled, and she hosted a party. And even when the doctor said, you know, you shouldn't be in large gathering like church gatherings, she sneaked in to tell the choir what a great job they had done, or to wish Edna Dishman a happy 104th and 5th birthdays. She was there through it all. And I remember one of the last conversations I had to her with her was through Michael, because she had him call and say whatever it took. She wanted the Medicinas dancers from St. Edward to be at the opening of the park that was going to be beautiful and built for those kids and the neighborhood at Zaragoza. Have you been by there and seen all the machinery and the ground moving and everything? It's amazing. And that was last fall. And she was not going to be able to be there, but she was determined that the Medicinas dancers would be there, and they were. What a witness she was. You might not think of someone who is doubting God big time as someone who is blessed by God, but Bert Casanova was a saint like this. He had borne witness to suffering and to struggling, and many of you may remember that he stood right here 4 years ago on World AIDS Day and gave the most beautiful, beautiful message about that and about his hope. And he got a standing ovation on and on. And along with Diane Dillard, Bert was one to encourage us to recycle and to take care of creation and to conserve. And he translated many times from English to Spanish in worship and in other settings. And he made sure that we had rice for 500 people every time we had a community Thanksgiving, and that was our turn, Grace's turn, to bring rice for 500. But over the course of time, Bert began to see a lot of our humanity in its ugliest forms. He began to feel, as he had before, that exclusion. He began to feel that judgment. And when Bill McIlvaney performed that ceremony for two men, the first marriage ceremony there over on Midway, And when a complaint was filed against him, even though it was a friendly complaint, Bert just shook his head. He said, how could anyone, friendly or not, complain against Bill McIlvaney? And for a long time, he wasn't in church. And he told me about this dark time in his life. But suddenly, somewhere, there began to be this hope. And I saw him at Les's graduation, a vision that both of them had had. And so Les was graduating there from Perkins School of Theology, and family was there. And Les was not just graduating, he was graduating with honors, and he was receiving a special award. And I saw that hope begin to take place as he worshiped that day. And so then, when he decided to go on hospice and people began coming to his home, many who had previously excluded him, and the lines became long, he looked at me on two different occasions and he said, Judith, I know this sounds crazy, but this has turned out to be a good thing, you know? What a witness. We might not think of someone who is 104 or 105 as even being able to be any kind of witness at that point in life, because age, you know, has a way of getting in the way sometimes of being a witness there. It's formidable. And yet a saint like this was Edna Dishman, who understood early on as a child that she had a special place in God's heart, which meant she should have a special place in her heart for so many who didn't have a place. And she went a step further during those 105 years, beginning with taking care of her younger twin brothers, and then going on to embracing people who were without a father or without a mother, welcoming them into her home, paying attention to the poor and the hungry, and not only paying attention to them, but doing everything she could to make sure that things changed so that the poor and the hungry and those, the least and the lost, were taken care of. To the very end of her life, she honored God with her prayers, her presence, her gifts, her service, and her witness. So this past week, 5 million people, if you can believe it, lined Michigan Avenue and Lakeshore Drive to celebrate the Cubs' first World Series championship in 108 years. And did you know that Mr. Cub was born right here in Dallas in 1931 and died just last year? Some of you know that. He was a graduate and a star athlete at Booker T. Washington, and he was a veteran of the Korean War. He had been advised as a black person by Jackie Robinson to quietly accept America's social divide. And he responded, if someone doesn't like me because I'm black, that's fine, I'll just go elsewhere, but I am not going to let anyone change my life. His optimism in the face of segregation was legendary. He would say, it's a beautiful day for a baseball game. Let's play two. And he was elected an all-star 11 times, MVP for consecutive years, awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by a Cubs fan, President Barack Obama. He helped break the color barrier in Major League Baseball, and he was the first Chicago Cub to have his number retired. Number 14. What some don't know about Ernie Banks is that he was an ordained minister, and he founded Life Above and Beyond specifically to coach the young and the elderly in areas of self-esteem and health care. And so today, not only are younger players standing on the shoulders of Ernie Banks, as is the baseball team, but so is Ernie Banks' entire high school, Booker T, which is now known as the Dallas Arts Magnet School. Saints like these, though, witnesses like these, are not just those who have gone before us. I'm looking at a whole congregation full of saints, even though you answered stronger on sinners. So witnesses are those who, despite your deep personal grief and suffering, you still manage to care for another entire family facing all sorts of things. It would be overwhelming to any of the rest of us, taking them to appointments. Or those of you who manage to show up before we can get there at the hospitals, calming and reassuring people. Or those of you who go happily from one place to another, making sure that those on the margins of life know that they are cared for and valued. So the miracle of All Saints Day is not about how a few people achieved perfection as the holy ones, blessed of God. The miracle of All Saints Day is that when we die, the prayer is the same for the most pious and also for those regarded as rascals, including us. Your witness is valuable. The miracle is about us and about how our lives are transformed. We, forgiven sinners, are called and sent to be ordinary saints in God's world, carrying out love, carrying out justice for peace. The saints, the holy ones who are beloved of God, are, by God's grace, mere mortals like us. So there's an old children's hymn, and I think that hymn has it right. It says, "I sing a song of the saints of God, and I want to be one too." By the Spirit of the living Christ, may it be so. Amen.